Father, we thank you. Thank you for tonight. And I come asking for your help tonight, Lord, and asking for your spirit, Lord, to teach and that you would speak to each and every one of us individually in our own walks with you, Lord. And Lord, that we would be filled up with your love, to walk in love, to walk in wisdom, to walk circumspectly. As we go out from here, and Lord, that you would be Lord and lifted up, and we glorify you this evening and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those visiting, we are in Genesis, going through Genesis, and we got to Genesis 5, and we came to a verse where it was talking about Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he walked with him for 300 years. And then he was not. He was raptured. And so we are taking this stroll through Colossians, and we are just getting back to the basics. Like I talked last week, that I'm getting back to just the simplicity of the gospel, simplicity of Jesus, that the freedom that we have, being freed up in service and to do the things that the Lord has called me to do. So I encourage you guys to be freed up in what the Lord has for you guys to serve others and to love others. And Colossians will do that. So if you spend that time, I know Fargo, I'm excited to be going through Colossians again probably next month as we get through Philippians and then getting back into Colossians. So it'll be a huge blessing. And so it's been a blessing for me, and I hope it blesses you guys. And so chapter 6, as next week we'll get back into Genesis, that we see, you know, the title will probably be, Are You Ready? And, you know, as judgment's coming upon the world as it did then, that, you know, he prepared the ark. We'll see all that stuff. We'll see all the, you know, the things that people like to fight over with the Nephilim and the sons of God intermarrying with the people of that time. So a bunch of crazy stuff. And then we do see that Noah also walked with God. And So we'll be getting there next week. So, you know, invite a friend. Are you ready? We'll probably share the gospel that maybe people can be saved here on campus, and invite your friends to come in, and we will, yeah, share the gospel. So that message, are you ready? As we are in times of, as in days of Noah, right? As in these times that we're living in, as the days are evil, that as we can just go out and we'll see that. You don't even need to go out. You just sit on your phone and you have a window into the whole world and all the things that they're carousing in and doing and living for self. We see that all over the place. Everything's about self and self-love and living after self, you know, being a better self, and everything's self-oriented. And Colossians and Paul's, we see in Colossians 4, I see a man, as we were talking this morning, as we were taught this morning in Philippians, and I see a man that wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about others. And we'll see all these names, and I'm struck by just how many names and friendships that Paul had, and people that he loved dearly, and it's like there's a ton of them. And it's like, man, you kind of will examine yourself and the friendships, and you can thank the Lord for all the friendships you do have. And as you gather and rub shoulders, as we're working out this book together, and we're coming together and we're working these things out with people that we probably wouldn't normally come be around. And so the beautiful thing of church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, those that come together, and we're called out of this world to love others. And so Colossians 4, we finished up 2 and 3 last week. Wasn't planning on doing both chapters, but praying, reading through that, you know, 3 is a response to chapter 2, how it opens up in verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which were above. You know, since then you were raised with Christ, and since you are born again, since all your sins are nailed to the cross, as chapter 2 talks about, talking about the cross of Jesus Christ, how all of our sins, past, present, future, they're thrown in the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean, and he puts a sign out there that says no fishing. So there's no fishing, and you don't bring up old sins that have been forgiven, right? As we, 1 John 1:9, every day we are cleansed, and don't let the enemy will do that. You'll have sin in your life, and you'll promise God today, like, I'm not going to do this ever again, you know, and then you have a good week, and then the following week you stumble in sin, and then the enemy's right there to tell you, see, you, maybe you aren't really saved. Maybe you aren't going to be effective to share the gospel. You probably shouldn't share the gospel because you're a rotten sinner. And that's what the enemy, those are the wiles of the devil. And we, again, we finished up Ephesians 6 and Fargo and just the wiles of the devil and the armor that we're to put on, that God puts on by his grace to equip us, and the importance of God's word as we come. And man, I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited about God's word. I am super excited about God's word. I get to go and read the Bible every day. I have this Bible in hand. I can go and read the word, copy paste, verses that speak to me. And then I can go to church service this morning and hear verses and be like, oh man, I was, you know, we were in prayer this morning. You have all these verses and prophecies, and one that kind of stuck out to me in my own devotions, I was going to share it, but I didn't get to it, but, was Exodus 8:20, as, the Lord is telling Moses to share with Pharaoh to go. And, thus says the Lord, you know, tell them to, I'll go to it so I don't stumble and say the wrong thing. Exodus 8:20, you know, little things. So to be excited about it is, you know, I want you guys to be reading your word daily, so to come, because you will have the witness of the Spirit in your devotions as you come and hear God's word, and you'll be like, wow, that was probably for me. God spoke that to me, and I'm to apply that. That's for me. You'll get those things. And this was one of those things this morning. And as I listened to those prophecies, as ministry verses that were shared in prayer, that, you know, as you chew on God's word, you know, something as simple as, you've probably heard it many times growing up. You've heard the plagues that were upon Pharaoh as they're, you know, as God's telling Moses and Aaron to go and to share and to tell them to let his people go. But the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning. This is at the fourth plague of the flies, and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And that just stuck out to me, that, you know, let my people go. You know, they're in Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world and all the sinful things that the world offers is in Egypt, that they may serve me. So to be freed up, right? So that freedom that, you know, we're called into as the Lord frees you up by the grace of God and by faith, that we are free to roam the cabin. As, you know, this Colossians study is all about that, the freedom in Christ, right? None of us have to be here. I've told you guys that too. We vote with our feet. How do you become a member of Calvary Chapel Grand Forks? You show up, right? You walk in the doors, you sit down. How do you end your membership at Calvary Chapel Grand Forks? You stop coming, and then you're free, right? And you could still be a Christian, you know, and giving and all these things. The Lord works out in our hearts. Do we have to give? We don't have to give. We're not unto the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and the law was nailed to the cross, as we saw in chapter 2. And then the law will be worked out in your heart. You'll be reading and you'll want to give, right? You'll want to come to church and do these things. And so to be freed up. So he says, you know, let my people go then that they may serve me. So be freed up in this Colossians study, that Jesus is the fullness. We saw that in chapter 1, that Jesus is God. He is the preeminence. He was before all things. He created all things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Enoch walked with God, Elohim, the fullness of God, as he walked in that daily walk with God that he had. And, you know, so I want to encourage you kids, adults, all of us, that it is exciting to read God's word and the little things that he'll point out to you. And I have a couple more that kind of are in concert with chapter 4 that I'll be reading, and then I'll be like, oh, that's something interesting about that. I'll mark it down, or I'll highlight it, or whatever it is, however you do your devotions. You know, maybe it's just highlighting, and you'll just come back to it, and then you'll go, oh, I was thinking about that earlier. No, how that ties in. It's almost like Paul is reading the Old Testament, right? And knows the Old Testament, and he knows God's word, and it's almost like the things that he says is because of what God has put into him, you know, it's exciting. And so chapter 4, we ended chapter 3, right? All the things that we should be doing now. Now that all we are freed up, we are free to roam the cabin, and we are free to do the things God calls us to do. And so chapter 3, right? We go through all the things we should stop doing, right? Therefore put to death your members as he was put, you know, as Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? For verse 3, we had it this morning too. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, right? You are secure. You have There you are. He is never going to leave you nor forsake you. You are secure in Jesus, and he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, chapter 2 said. And so put away malice, blasphemy. Put away filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds, and we're encouraged to put on the new man, right? Ephesians 4, put on the new man, put off the old. And the character of the new man that we will read in the Word of God as you look at the fruit of the Spirit, those are the attributes, the fruit that is produced in us as we abide in Christ and as we spend time with the perfect God that walked this earth, right? That died and just poured out his life to serve others and to love others. And that is our example, to study out Jesus in his walk and to study out the gifts of the Spirit that he embodied, right? He embodied every gift of the Holy Spirit that we can study. And so, and then we, in verse 16, a lot of us have this memorized, and we talk about verse 16 of chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Meditate on God's word and in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another, right? This is the word of God is for others, that we would serve others and love others. And in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're encouraged that this is church, right? The studying of God's word and singing and praising God. That's what church is. And so whatever, and then we're encouraged, whatever we do, in the workplace, when we go home, when we're walking out here, that we would do everything we do would be heartily as to the Lord. All the things we're doing, serving and obeying mom and dad, it's for the Lord and not for men. Knowing, so then that encouragement that we will receive from the Lord the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, and to be, you know, just to know that, right? We, all the things we do, we don't just come and look nice to each other at church. This leaves this building, and we still work out this love in our heart that God puts in us. And then, so then if you go into chapter 4, as we start in verse 1, we will see verse 1, you know, a lot of commentators will say this belongs in chapter 3 because he's going through the, the bondservants to those that are under authority to someone in charge of them, whether it's an employee and their employer, or, the bondservants. And then we see the masters. There's instructions for those that are above their servants, that give your bondservants, he says, what is just and fair, and knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Right? So the instructions for those that are above their employees, that have employees under them, that we are to be just and fair in what they earn, that they would be paid on time, or that they would, you know, that they wouldn't be taken advantage of, right? And so, and then verse 2, chapter 4, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Right? The importance of prayer, right? Prayer, if you consider you need to breathe all day, right? The inhaling and exhaling, just as important it is to breathe is the important to the natural body, just breathing. You know, that's pretty important. Otherwise, you're probably not going to continue living. And so those that have been sick, or I remember my dad had pneumonia one time, and I remember just how hard it was for him to breathe. So he had to have this machine and had to take these big breaths, and it was a laborsome thing just to be able to breathe in those sicknesses. Or, you know, as you consider, right, just as we maybe I take for granted just breathing, right? You can just take for granted just the simple things of life, being able to walk or talk, and we can, you know, see others and consider just how much we have to be thankful for. We could be maybe unthankful and be like, oh, why, you know, all the things we can, the enemy will try to take advantage on the small things. How, I believe it was this morning too, how we're to, you know, not to magnify those things, but to magnify Christ in our walk, right? To magnify the Lord and not the circumstances that are holding us back, or, things like that. And so, the importance of prayer, right? The importance that Jesus shows in the Gospels, the importance of how it says in Luke, in all the Gospels, that he went and left and often prayed, right? And then he often prayed, and then he came back and did service. And so I consider, prayer, and meanwhile, Well, let's stick with this point. So prayer, right? And as I look at Jesus in his prayer life, right, he would go and pray, and then he would go and serve and work, right? So if you imagine farmers, right, you know, what do? You pray all season, and then you're ready for harvest. You're ready once all that is prayed through, and then there's an opportunity and the fruit is there. You go to work, right? And you go and harvest the fields. And then, so that's us. So, prayer is important to pray, but also to do something is the point. As Paul will teach, right? As Jesus taught, right? He would go and pray, and then he would go and serve. He would lay his life down to do things. He would go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And for us, when we pray, not to just pray and be like, think that's the work. That is the work, the importance of prayer. But if we really look at it, what Jesus did, he would go and do something, right? As the Lord, as the Father would speak to him, and even going to the cross, how he went in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father and he asked him, is there any other way, right? Let this cup pass from me. You know, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So that Garden of Gethsemane prayer is for us to know. The importance of that prayer and that scripture that we read is that we come to the knowledge that there is no other way for mankind to be reconciled to God but by the cross of Jesus Christ. That was the only way. Otherwise, if there was another way, he wouldn't have done it. But that was the sole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, was to die on the cross for our sins, right? And to rise again and to defeat hell and death. And so prayer, as Paul teaches us, meanwhile, continue earnestly in prayer, right? Being vigilant in it, right? To be in watch, to be watchful in our prayers, to take heed to those things around us, to observe, you know, to be vigilant, right? To consider, have our eyes open of the enemy and his tactics of what he wants to, his strategies, as it were. And then in verse 3, we read, he says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Okay, Paul, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So here we see the heart of Paul. You know, what is Paul? Is Paul praying, guys, pray for me so I can get out of here, so I can join you guys and be able to go to Olive Garden, have dinner, and be back to the comforts of this world, right? Then I can serve God. Paul's in prison in a pit in Rome, and he's in chained to an officer who is rotating a guard, and he is more concerned about the people around him. So he's like, man, pray that there's an open door that the gospel could get to these guys that are around me. And I imagine some of these letters he verbalized to a brother to write it down. At the end of chapter 4, we'll see that this salutation he wrote with his own hand, and they would have known by the large letters that he would have written. But that some of these epistles that he's dictating to a brother to write down. So you imagine Paul in that prison, chained to a Roman guard, or some of these guys around him saying these things and them hearing what Paul has to say. Him saying these things that, hey man, pray, don't, he's not asking them to pray for me to get out of here so I can be released from this bondage. He's praying that he can have an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe that guard is like, what is this that you want to share? You know, there's that open door. And, you know, the open doors of the gospel. And so here's another one of these things. As I consider Paul a Pharisee, he knew the Torah, right? Genesis through Deuteronomy. I'm reading through Genesis, finished up Genesis. Now I'm in Exodus. As you know, I mentioned chapter 8, and I'm probably on 9 today. And open up your Bible to Genesis 40 as we consider somebody in prison. And it's Genesis 40. I never quite saw it because this is one of those, you know, you read it, you know, sometimes reading the Bible and you're okay, I've heard that story. You're just reading through, and the Lord showed me something about Joseph in prison. And I imagine, you know, I imagine Paul in prison thinking of these stories, whether he has a copy or he knows these stories very well, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, the teachers that he would have been under, Gamaliel. And You know, he knows all these stories, and maybe he's sitting there in prayer thinking about the Lord brings Joseph to remembrance. And the heart of Paul is as the Bible and the heart of Jesus is revealed to us, I look at Joseph, and he's in prison in chapter 40, like Paul. And, it's the story of the baker and the butler, right? And he's in Egypt. It came to pass after these things, this is verse 1, that the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and they're sent to prison. And the captain of the guard, verse 4, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, right? Joseph is serving these guys. We know these stories that he had favor, right? That these guards, he was beneficial for them. He was profitable for those in the dungeons and all. You know, you think of that. Joseph's in prison, and what does he do? He is useful for them, and he's given charge, and he has favor, right? The Lord gives him favor in these situations. And then in verse 6 really stuck out to me, because you read this, and you know they have dreams, and they have dreams in the prison, and thinking of an open door that Paul and Joseph walked through. Pay attention to verse 6. It says, "And Joseph came into them, and in the morning, and he looked at them, right, and saw that they were sad." And so this open door is because Joseph was looking at these two men, and he was observing them, and he was taking an interest in them, and he realizes there's something off about these guys. There's something about their countenance that it was like, and he observed them and he saw that they were sad. Okay, so what does he do? He asked the Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, right? And then they revealed to Joseph their dreams. And so I was, geeking out over that. I'm looking at that, and it's like, well, Joseph, it was because Joseph took an interest in these guys, and then this open door opened for him as he, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, was able to interpret the dreams, and then he asked them, "Remember me when you are amongst Pharaoh." And then they forgot after that time, and then eventually he was like, "Oh yeah, that guy, I know some," because then Pharaoh has a dream, and the chief butler was like, "Yeah, I remember a guy that was able to interpret my dream." And so Pharaoh goes and tells Joseph, and that was his open door to get out. And you just think of, as Paul, he is a man that is concerned for others. And so us, as we observe this, that we would take an interest in other people, right? As you might come to church, I've done it, you come and you'll sit down and nobody's coming to talk to me. Everybody's ignoring me, and as you come to the Word of God and you observe, and that we, it's good sometimes to initiate others. As Joseph, as Paul, we would see they would initiate others, right? And go and be like, "Hey, how's it going?" Right, taking an interest in somebody else's day, and I notice, that maybe you're not having a great day, and you just have a conversation, then they'll maybe open up, and then you can pray with one another, right? And so, the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, God initiated us by the gospel to be saved, right? And so we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus as He grows us, shapes us, as He's the potter and we're the clay, and through the Word of God, as you read through it and you're corrected through Colossians, as maybe you've gotten too religious and you've gotten too raising your kids like I have, and trying to teach them, "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here," and you're just worried about all the things that you can't do, and then you're reminded, just grow them in the way they should go and teach them the things they should do, rather than worrying about Halloween or all these things that we think the boogeyman, it's like, no, we got Christ in us. There are things when we walk circumspectly, the days are evil, that we would, okay, by wisdom, we would not want them to be around things that are bad for them. And that's where we get it to in verse 5, walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time, right? Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside of the faith, those that are, we're encouraged. Paul teaching the Colossian church, sending this letter to them to teach them, walk with wisdom with those on the outside. You think of, as you share the gospel, as you, As you know, do we want people, they may look at you and be like, man, I want nothing to do with Jesus if that's what it's like, right? As you walk with wisdom in how you conduct yourselves, right? This morning, Philippians 1:27, we had that all the way through the Mark gospel study we went through, was Philippians 1:27, that our conduct would be worthy of the gospel, right? That people would, verse 6, let your speech, our lives and our speech would be seasoned with salt, right? Speaking with grace to others, right? Speaking with unmerited favor to those around us, that we would, instead of assuming the worst in people, we would be like, speak with grace, that favor that you know they don't deserve, but you would speak that love, gentle, the gentleness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. I think of time. I did, a little research. I'm 38 years old. And if I am to live to be 70 or 80, as I'm walking this walk with the Lord, it is, as we read in Psalm 90:12, that prayer of Moses, Psalm 90, well, it says to teach us to number our days, right? So, Moses, right? That word that we would have for ourselves, that, then James 4:14 says that we would, that our life is but a vapor, right? If you go outside, it's cold. Your life, if you breathe into it, you'll see the vapor that comes out. That's the wisdom the Bible teaches. That's what our life is. And so, and then when we're encouraged to redeem the time, purchase back the time that we have in this life. I'm 35. I just said, well, maybe I'm 38. If I lived another 35 years, maybe, whatever the Lord has planned for me, but, 3 score and 10 by strength, Lord willing, 80 years. But just a rough estimate, if I lived another 35 years, I have 12,775 days left in my life, right? And if I put that down to minutes, I have 18 million minutes, 408,960 minutes to live. And so considering that, I look at that number, for whatever reason, that 12,775 days really was like, wow, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of days. And, we'll be in, Lord willing, in Israel in like 60 days. And so there goes another 70 days. And then it's like, you're just like, man, this time is short, right? And so Paul's telling us to redeem the time that we have, right? Maybe not, I'm conveyed, maybe not sleep in as long, or, the things that we can do to kill time. It's a Sunday. I did so many years. I would watch football from 12 o'clock until 10 at night. Like, I would literally would just watch football for 10 hours straight, sitting on the couch, maybe go to the bathroom a couple times, right? Loved it. And so I read that as like, Paul's telling me, redeem the time, purchase back the time, find the good deals, right? My wife, she is a thrifter. She is a sale. She finds the sales. And so, she's very good at it. It's like, especially Christmas season, it will be, there will be, I don't want to give her secrets away, but usually a few days after Christmas, it'll be 90% off at Target, right? So all the holidays, there's a specific time that she always knows, man, if it's 70% off, that's not good enough. She's like, 90%, that's the good deal. So we are encouraged to, to be smart about our time, redeem back that time that we have, and that's simply to serve and to share the gospel. And that's Paul's heart, is to share the gospel. An open door to share the gospel with those around him. The man, it's, you look at Paul, it's convicting, as even this morning, as we're being taught in Philippians, just how, you look at that, like, man, I'm nothing like that. But we, as we grow, as we walk with God, the guys with far-reaching ministries. I remember a Bible study sitting with, I think it was Jonathan Dominguez, His tagline, it was at a conference, his title to his teaching was, I bid you to come and die. And the next guy that came up was literally this guy that was promoting, like, you need a vacation in this Mexico resort that we're having. And the guy before, I bid you to come and die and lay your life down for Jesus, And so I was like, man, far-reaching ministry, that's where my heart, these guys are, if you read this month's newsletter, what they're, you see what Wes and they're not any better than us, right? We have the same Holy Spirit they have. It's just, Are we redeeming the time to share the gospel with others? Are we magnifying our own problems to be like, oh, I have too many things going on in my life, I can't serve God? Or are we magnifying Jesus in our life to say how great he is? Sure, I can go and simply, you know, what was it, the Pataangelion, preach the gospel just to announce, to gently be like, hey, you know, Jesus loves you, right? He really does. And the amazing thing the Bible reveals is Jesus really does love us. That's the amazing thing. You know, it's a lot of words, right? Genesis through Revelation. There's a lot of commentary to tell us one thing, how much Jesus really loves us. And how he died on the cross, right? He laid his life, God, for sinners like us. While we are yet sinners, he died for us, right? As we still spit in his face and sin, you know, and then we come to him and man confess, and he still every single time will wash us clean. That's amazing, you know, amazing grace. So let your speech always be with grace. We touched on that you may know how you ought to answer each one, you know, and then I kind of want to make this point too, and walk in wisdom, you know, with those on the outside as you share the gospel, right? It's a lot easier to share the gospel. You just got to go and put your foot in your mouth a few times as you share with others the gospel and get past those few awkward times and just be like, just throw them away, whatever, right? But like, I think we get caught up in a lot of gimmicks, right? A lot of gimmicks of throwing down paper on the ground and making it look like a $1 million bill, and then they'll stumble and, oh, you know, gotcha, you know, haha, but you know, maybe there is fruit in that seed getting planted, but, you know, I don't ever see Jesus doing that. You know, I don't see him, you know, going and running behind a boulder and looking around the corner and be like, oh, what if they're going to, you know, you consider Jesus and Paul, you know, they are asking you to pray for them to have an open door to share the mystery of God and the gospel. And so, so stick with the word of God in all this and how to evangelize and how to share. You know, just simple talking to people in the workplace and just get past those few awkward times, just those cold calls, you know, as salesmen, right? As you get into sales, right? You got to get past those cold calls and just learn how to speak with people and it'll grow and you'll learn and grow in how you share the gospel and love others and that they'll look at your life and your conduct and be like, hey, you know, like, it's like, you know, seasoned with salt, you know, the Grinch McDonald's meals, you think about those week, you know, you think of fries, French fries without salt aren't very good, you know, and especially McDonald's fries with that have been sitting that haven't been hot, right? You know, that happens if you don't get them right away. And they have this week these Grinch Happy Meals for adults. You get a Big Mac or some chicken nuggets. Seriously, they were amazing, right? And they have like these Grinch socks. My son, he loves the Grinch. That's his favorite, right? You love the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Yes, the Grinch. Okay. And so they have these little bags in there, these little packets of salt, right? Dill pickle salt. And you had the fries that were cold. You put them in that bag. You put that salt on them. And you shook the bag with the salt, and they were amazing, right? When they were cold. And so, right? So, and then what happens when I was thirsty after those fries because they were just like MSG. They were terrible for me, probably. And so then I was like, I was thirsty, right? So as our life that we would, as we share, our speech is seasoned with salt, speaking grace and love to others, that people would be like, man, I want to be a Christian, right? I want to be thirsty for this, you know, the Holy Spirit, right? For what these people are like, rather than we can be a little Alex Jones. I laugh at those things of Alex Jones and his theatrics and all this crazy stuff you see on the internet, you know, that people might look at and be like, that is weird. You know, whether maybe even it's just like, you know, that's why, you know, speaking in tongues and all of the charismatic things, you know, people coming in and being like, man, this is weird. I don't want nothing to do with this, right? So walking circumspectly, walking with wisdom at how we conduct ourselves, right? Not making people think we're weird, but just simply loving, right? And that way they would be thirsty. Man, I want this life that you have of, you seem like you're not worried about anything. You're not worried about this COVID thing that happened. You guys are just happy and like you have hope, right? That we have hope of the rapture and what God is going to come and take us away. Just like Enoch was taken away and was not. Right, and be excited, you know, be excited about these things in the Word of God and that people would want to be saved, you know. And Yeah, there's plenty of time. Verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister, faithful servant, fellow servant in the Lord. He will tell you all the news about me. As he delivered this letter, right? And I believe it's Colossians and Philemon. He's the one that sent him. Epaphras was the one we saw early in this epistle, was the one to go and give news to Paul, for those visiting, that Epaphras was this man that trekked 6 to 8 weeks, 1,300 miles, just to tell Paul, man, there are some weird things being taught. The gospel, the simplicity of the gospel that you taught us, there's these guys coming in and saying, no, there's more to it than actually just believing in Jesus. You had to either be circumcised, you had the Jews doing that, you had those that were, saying, well, you need to listen to me, and the Gnostics saying there's more, there's this deep knowledge, and only the educational elites are the ones that possess the ways to actually get to heaven. And it was a different message than what Paul brought to the Ephesians. And Epaphras, he went 1,300 miles just to tell Paul in prison, like, man, there are some weird things happening. What do we say? And then that's where Paul was like, wrote this letter down to bring back to the church to show that it is really that simple to believe in the freedom of what Jesus offers. And so Epaphras is that guy we'll see here in this chapter. We saw early on. And, Epaphras was this passionate man about the Lord. And I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, right? All these guys Paul served with, right? These relationships he has, he's a beloved brother, Onesimus says. He's faithful, right? You can count on this guy. And who is one of you? He's a fellow believer. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Right, there's people getting saved. There's Roman guards being saved. They're hearing the gospel, and the gospel is starting to spread in Rome, and the Roman church is being birthed. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Here's a man that, he didn't have to be. He chose to serve with Paul in prison and be a fellow prisoner with them, just like Luke, right, the beloved physician that we'll meet here in a few verses. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. We met Mark when we went through the Gospel of Mark. Mark was a man that went on the first missionary journey, and he flaked out. He was like, this is too much. He went back to mom back in Jerusalem where it was easy. And then Barnabas, cousin Barnabas, on the second missionary journey was like, hey, let's take Mark along with us. And Paul was like, no way. He flaked out the first time. We're not taking him the second time. And that's where Barnabas was. And Paul and Barnabas had not a falling out. They split ways. And Paul took Silas up, and they were trying to go eastward into Asia, but the door was not open to go to Asia. And that's where they ended up in Philippi. Paul and Silas, they end up in prison there. And what do? They sing hymns and spiritual songs, and the chains are released from their wrists, and they are, they witness to the jailer, and he gets saved in his whole household, right? Man, it's cool stuff, but we can do too, right? The same Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel. It's not just restricted to these brothers that went before us. And so Mark, and now we read 20 years later in this Colossian epistle that Paul, right? He was young in the faith. He was maybe a little immature. He was growing. We see that he is, welcome him, right? He is useful for the ministry now, all these years later. And as he grew and walked with the Lord and became a faithful brother. And Mark, we have Peter dictating to Mark, and we get, all these years of the church being able to read the gospel of Mark, right? The grace of God, in other words, right? The grace of God in our, some of us maybe have flaked in ministry, and we are, we're here now, and we can come and serve, continue to serve and be useful and be faithful in ministry as we start to serve and continue to serve and do these things. He says to them, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom who are of the circumcision, right? These guys are fellow Jews. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Paul says. And there's Epaphras, who is one of you. He's a bondservant of Christ. He greets you. He was believed to be the pastor of this Colossian church. He left. I believe it's Archippus that he has to fill the pulpit while he's gone with his urgent news to Paul, right? He lets them know he's a bondservant of Christ. He greets you. He's laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And, you know, Epaphras, man, he's probably passionate. He was, you know, fervent in his prayers. Paul witnesses it. He's praying constantly with zeal for his church that he got to pastor in Colossae, right? He is praying for you guys to be encouraged and edified. He hasn't forgotten you guys. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you, right? He's hot, right? He is passionate about you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. We talked recently too. Laodicea is a few miles east of Colossae. We opened up this Colossian letter reading about the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation 3. And I find it interesting, great zeal, fervent prayer. You can turn there if you want, Revelation 3, because these letters are for us too, and we are the church. And it's good to see these things often, I believe, as you read through the, you know, you can see seasons of all the churches in your own walk. You know, maybe you're going through a period of being a church of Sardis, you know, maybe you're a little bit dead in your works, and you can read that, and we are in the church of the Laodicean church age, you know, the last church age before all this comes to pass in Revelation, right? That last church that he writes to. And it's interesting because this Colossian letter was to be read in the Colossian church and the Laodicean church. Make sure they're reading this too. They had that Colossian epistle to read, and then Jesus tells John to write this down, and he says to the lukewarm church, right? He knows your works. You're neither hot. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, right? You've become like the world and all that around you, and to know that you have become wealthy. You say that you are rich and wealthy, and you have need of nothing. And Jesus speaking, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And he says that in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, right? That's, if he loves those, he chastens. That's the good news, that for us, we can come to this and hear this. He says, therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me, right? He's at the door knocking. Right? He doesn't just knock a few times. He's knocking continuously. Open the door to me and let me come and be one in your life again. And he who has an ear, right? All of us. I have an ear. I read that. I got to take heed. I can't sit here and say I'm not Laodicean because, you know, there are times I can be Laodicean. Sometimes, you know, I'm rich and in need of nothing sometimes. And you're just like, what's the point? I've got it made in the shade. And we can look at Paul and the things that he goes through. He doesn't care whether he's in the prison or he's out of prison. The same to him. For him, it's ministry. There's people around him. He has open door. He wants these guys that are holding on to him to be saved. He don't care if he's out and having Grinch fries, you know, he's like, he wants to share the gospel, right? And so hear that warning. And, you know, I bear witness that Epaphras has great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea. And it's believed Epaphras maybe pastored two or three small churches. And Luke, the beloved physician, right? The beloved physician. That's how, you know, you read the Word of God. People will say, how do you know Luke was a doctor? Well, the Bible says it, right? We can go to the Word and be like, well, we know he's a physician because the Bible says so. He by choice decided to go with Paul on his missionary journeys, and he penned Acts and most of Acts, and he was with him and was able to. You know, we know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh and had these ailments, and right, he It was maybe believed to be that I had eye problems, and that's why he wrote with large letters, and he maybe couldn't see. It was just something that was bothering. He chose to go along with him in ministry and tend to his needs and those around. And then we have this fellow named Demas, right? He's mentioned here, not a bad light, but notice all he says. And Demas, you know, I was reading that and it was like, and Demas says hi, right? And he doesn't really elaborate on this guy. He doesn't say he's a faithful minister. He doesn't say the beloved Demas, right? Here's a guy that's along and he's like, you know, he's doing things and maybe Paul has suspicions of whatever. But if we read in 2 Timothy 4:10, I'm going to mark it down and we can see Demas. This week, you know, and you know, if I'm honest with myself, you know, if I take heed and I have an ear to hear what the Spirit says, you know, you know, we should all look at Demas and take him, you know, at the power of a bad example, right? Here's a man that was in ministry. He was probably liked the thought it was cool, but unfortunately, Paul's last letter, as you know, as he's waiting for his head to be chopped off, right? And this is that 2 Timothy, that last letter he writes. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he has departed for Thessalonica." He had departed for Thessalonica, right? He forsook Paul and left the ministry that he was called to do because he loved the present world. He loved the things of the world more. And, you know, me and my wife, we went, you know, last minute little thing. We went to the cities on Tuesday and went to the theater, went to the Phantom of the Opera. And, you know, I was just reminded how quickly, you know, I love a lot of that stuff, right? I love the city. I love the food carts and the restaurants and all the things that the city has to offer and the opera. I love all that artsy kind of stuff, right? The worldly things and, you know, driving back and, you know, studying for this. And it's like, man, there's a little bit of Demas in me. So I take heed to, you know, to ministry. Like, am I going to just quit, right? Am I going to be a Demas and just quit someday and be like, well, I'd rather just live it easy in my life and not do the things that preach the gospel, right? And so as you consider, you know, consider Demas, right? And as a warning, you know, we at the men's conference, we were warned of some pastors that fell, you know, as to take heed to see these men that fell, right? To the power of a bad example that, you know, it's not, you know, these are pastors that were falling and walking away and sinning, and then they had to leave it all because of the temptations of the world. And so the power of a bad example, and so to take heed, and I take heed, great heed to this, to watch what I do and to consider those around me, my kids. I have 5 kids growing up that this wouldn't just be a life that was for show on a Sunday in Grand Forks or this morning, that I would take ministry into the home, right? And not be hypocritical as it's said of a lot of pastors and pastors' kids, right? The label of a PK kid, right? That you know, their dad lived a certain way at home, but he was all jolly at church and living a different way. And that our walk would continue as we walk with God in Genesis 5, that our walk would continue. It would be genuine here as it is at home. And so, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. And now when this epistle is read among you, verse 16 of chapter 4 of Colossians, see that it is also read in the church, that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, right? Make sure they're hearing this word too. And that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea and say to Archippus, Archippus, however you say that, take heed to the ministry, right? The ministry that you've received right now, take heed to it, which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you, amen. And take heed to the ministry. I want to take and with this, the prayer of John 17, we can open there. I think we're just going to end with John 17 as Jesus prays, as we are to, if you want to learn how to pray, like I said last week, we would look at Jesus and how he prayed, right? That is our example. We would look at Paul and his prayer. We would look at the Word of God, right? The books are good. You know, I'm one to be that have a good handle on the Word of God first, then add the books, right? Let your doctrine be shaped by the Word of God before the books, right? That the prayer books and all the guidelines and things that others have learned, because they learned it from the Word of God. And we can look at Jesus and his prayer as we are to take heed to the ministry. And Jesus prays. I say we read this whole chapter together and we'll close there. Because Jesus, this is the Lord's Prayer. And let's look at Jesus pray. Look at his heart. And, you know, because we want to be men and women after God's own heart, right? And we want to be those that want to be like Jesus. And so look at his heart and let's see what Jesus has to say. Is he's going to pray for all the believers. He's going to pray for the disciples and he's going to pray for us, right? The high priest in heaven, as he makes intercession still to this day for us. Chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Right? Before all the creation. We're going through Genesis. Right? That's the before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me. His disciples there. Out of the world, that they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And the glory, sorry guys, for I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them, and do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, right? Us, those who have believed and received, that they all may be one, right? The body of Christ. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you. But I have known you, and these have known you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, Lord, that is our prayer, my prayer, Lord, that we would be loving, Lord, that we would love others, Lord, that your love, this love that you put in our hearts, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith, Lord, the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for this Colossians study that we got to walk through, Lord. And God, I pray for next week, Lord, that there would be people to come in that maybe don't know you, that could be saved because of the judgment to come on the world, Lord. And we know we're not going to be here, Lord, that we'll be taken out before that great judgment that's coming upon the world, Lord, that your word reveals, Lord. So I pray for an open door for us all this week to share the gospel, Lord, that we would, simple, right? Just love on people and just say the words you give us, Lord. So God, just that we would be filled with your spirit, Lord, and filled with your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.